Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Today, we are starting a brand new series. It's a three-week series called Is God Good? And how many know that there are things that we walk through in life that don't always feel good? Right? Maybe even every day. Right? There are things that happen, and sometimes there are like really challenging or traumatic things that take place in our lives, and it's like that doesn't seem to be so good. And there are some that then take that a step further and wonder, well, is God good? I mean, if he's this loving, perfect God, is he good? And next week and the week after, the Lord willing, I plan to share a message in that series, Is God Good? But today is extremely special because we're going to have an opportunity as a church to lean in and to listen in to a couple in our church who have been walking through a very challenging time. And they are a couple that many of you have been aware of over these last few months and you've been praying for. And for some of you that are here for the very first time, you might not know who they are, but here's the deal. I believe that over the next few moments, everybody in this place is going to be encouraged. And I believe that everybody in this place is going to be challenged no matter what it is that you're walking through in this chapter of your life. And someone asked my wife, Lacey, to come and join me. And then also Michael and Kaya Malone, would you come and join us here as well? You guys are awesome. So cool. Get to hang out with these people. Well, aren't you jealous right now? Well, actually, we all get to over these next few moments. And this began for me all the way back August 7th in what they're going to be sharing about today. We had just got back from just a little vacation, 3 days or whatever. We were with our kids, west side of the state, having a good time. Get back Wednesday, and I get a text soon after we got back from this guy right here,
yep.
From Michael. And this is what the text said from Michael. Hey, Keith. So, long story, but I'm in the hospital with masses on my spine and sounds like I'll be here a few days. Immediate prayer requests are A, Kaya doesn't go into labor yet, B, healing, C, that I would be thankful in all circumstances. Also, sorry about this, there will not be video announcements or baptism video ready for Sunday. My first thought is, what is going on here? Like, I don't get texts like that every day. And just got back, I'm like, what? And so my next thought was, I'm getting ready and I'm going there right now. And the third was, why is this guy worried about video announcements right now? I am not worried about video announcements right now. So just to start us off, Michael and Kaya, like, help us understand a little bit about the medical journey that you've been on over the last 4 months.
Yeah, I think leading up to that, I had just had some pain in my lower back and leg, and I'm 34, so I just thought, oh, I'll probably pull the muscle dunking because, you know, I'm super athletic, and so, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I was doing a little physical therapy, but it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And so finally, Kaya made me go to urgent care, which was that day, and one thing led to another, and they ended up doing an MRI and finding, you know, that mass at the base of my spine, and then also a lot of other little tumors forming in different places. And I remember standing like kind of in the, you know, you do your MRI and you go in the tube or whatever, and coming out and standing in the waiting area, and the doctor had called me on the phone and just said, hey, we think this is likely lymphoma. And, you know, there's a lot more tests we're going to have to do, but you're not going to be leaving. And so, you know, I end up going to the ER, end up getting admitted to the hospital here in Midland. At that point, you were, what, really pregnant?
I was 1 week away from our due date, so
yeah. So
that was interesting.
So that was going on. This was a Wednesday, and it ended up, I mean, in a short version, it ended up Violet, our daughter, was born on Friday, and I was still in the hospital at that point doing more CT scans and this thing, you know, everything, and the biopsy and everything they want you to do. And ended up getting released on Saturday. Still didn't really have any answers, but knew it was really serious. You know, mm-hmm. This is a serious thing. And then one thing led to another, some more tests, and we ended up just wise counsel, and also the doctors here said, you know, you really need to go down to U of M Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. And so we went down to that hospital and did some more tests there, and then I think it was about 2 weeks later, and got a diagnosis of what's called Burkitt lymphoma, which is just an aggressive form of lymphoma cancer, and it was stage 4, and it was kind of like all in my bone marrow, and a lot of little tumors in addition to the big one that had been kind of causing me pain, just in my intestines in different places, and so it was real serious. And they were kind of like, what was it that the doctor first said we were there? And she was like, she said, if you weren't going to be admitted that day, I would have begged you to stay.
Yeah.
And just because you kind of like, you need to start treatment now. Mm-hmm. And so it was late August, and we were down at U of M and kind of got that diagnosis. And that that day, they admitted me to the hospital there and essentially started I'm on a thing where it's a 3-week round of chemo. So I go down to Ann Arbor, they give me some treatment, medicine, chemotherapy, and there's something to happen, you know, it's a 3-week cycle, and 3 weeks later I'm back starting another cycle, and there's 8 of those. And so we just are finishing up the fifth one, and so the end is in sight, and so there's 3 more of these cycles to go through.
Now let's talk a little bit about the spiritual and emotional journey that you have been on. So Michael, you found out at 34 mm-hmm. that you had an extremely aggressive cancer. And Kaya, you found out as a mom of a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and one very, very soon to be born that your husband had cancer. Many people would have some initial questions in their mind, the why God, why me, why now? So what are some of the initial questions that were running through your minds when you received that diagnosis?
For me, it took me like 2 days to stop crying, I think. I was in shock for a lot of it. My first question was why now? Because we were a week away from having our third child, and he's so young, like it didn't make sense to me. But then the next questions after that were, you know, if God's plan is to take Michael, to heaven, then what am I gonna do? How am I gonna explain that to my kids? Mm-hmm. And, sorry. And how do I explain this whole situation to our kids? You know, whichever way it ends up. And how is that gonna affect their future relationship with God? Are they gonna become angry and bitter? Or will they see this as a miracle?
Yeah, I think that I did at least. You know, you have in your mind an idea of how you think your life might go. Mm-hmm. You know, of, we're going to have kids and this and the next thing. And I don't know, at least for me, I'm guessing nobody's like, cancer. Let's put that in this chapter. You know, and so it's the shock of it. The questions are, what are you doing, God? Like, why is this happening? What, you know, is this my time even? Like, does this lead to death? And because it was so serious, you know, mm-hmm. the doctors were saying. And so those things are all going through your head. And there's fears that come and doubts. And there's still probably 100 questions we have. We, you know, it's not like we have all the answers yet. But right away, it's difficult because it feels like all there are questions. Especially mm-hmm. at the beginning, and there's no answers yet.
Right.
And it's just questions.
Yeah. Wow. So as you have all these questions surfacing, mm-hmm. and then you look back on the last few months, how did you begin to process through some of those really tough questions?
you want to go first?
Sure. worship music has always been really powerful for me, and so I spent a lot of time listening to worship music and praying. And there's a song that I've just been listening to on repeat, and one of the lyrics of the song says, what's true in the light is still true in the dark. And so I've been kind of clinging to that, like that this situation doesn't change who God is. He is still the same. He is still good. He is still faithful. And so just hanging on to that, and also just spending time in prayer. And then I think for the two of us, like practically, we had to have some really difficult conversations early on, like what happens if he does die, and, you know, kind of just having those conversations and setting things up in case, and, you know, things like
that. Yeah, those aren't easy conversations.
They're not.
Because again, like, you know, that's not
that was the worst date I've ever had.
Yeah, I just don't. High five. Yeah. What was the question? No. I think spending time with the Lord, yeah, is just, that was all we knew to do, you know, and I think if you're in a difficult situation, you know, we had a choice, you know, do you kind of like run towards Jesus or maybe you run away, you know, and try to do it on your own, or I don't know, we just... Thankfully, by God's grace, I think we just immediately started running towards Jesus, maybe, and also wise counsel. Like, right away, some people came and I think gave us very wise counsel just about, there's so many decisions and there's so many questions and people just surrounding us and loving us, some of you guys, and just many of you, actually. And so I think early on, by, again, this is just the grace of God, we came to somehow a realization that, like, we're not going to figure out all the answers. We just won't. Maybe we'll get a few of them. And, like, what, God, what are you doing? We may never know, like, all of the answers to that. Like, what are you doing? The sight of heaven. And there's this one scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, and it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanksgiving in all circumstances. For this is the will, these three things, this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And we didn't have any answers at the beginning, but we had that we don't know the big will of God. We don't know most of the will of God, but here's a little piece we know. You know, find something to rejoice in. Find something to be thankful about today, or maybe this hour, right? Sometimes it's hourly, you know, and be in prayer. And so, like, hey, if I'm doing those things, at least I know I'm in the will of God in that. And so I don't know, for me, I probably said that scripture to myself 100 or more times, just because sometimes, yeah, it's just hourly and you're worried about something and what's going to happen and what the circumstances and the diagnosis, but hey, here, I don't know the big picture. I can't see how big God sees, but I can see this little part.
Right, so. Right. Yeah, I think you hit on something that I think we all struggle with as people, and that is we want to know the answers, and we ask God. I wonder how many times God gets that question every day from around the world. Like, why? Why is this happening? And you touched on this. There are sometimes when maybe we do understand, when we can kind of wrap our mind around what we're walking through, but then it seems like more often than not, we can't. Like, we can't get it. We can't totally process through everything that's going on. And then questions can come up specifically. If God is a good God, why would he allow this to happen to me? I mean, you're 34, you're pregnant with a little one. Like, what? Like, why now? Why all this? And maybe even another question, if God is perfect and loving, why does he seem to be silent at times? Maybe if we're asking the why question and we're praying for an answer or a miracle or whatever it might be. Like, with those particular questions, did you guys wrestle with that at all? And, like, how did you kind of process through a couple of those specifically?
Thankfully, I had a lot of peace from the very beginning. I didn't, you know, I had those initial questions, but even right away that first day, it was truly the peace that passes all understanding, because it does not make sense in my human brain that I'm about to have a baby, my husband has cancer, you know, I should not feel peaceful. but I did, and I felt calm, I felt peaceful, and right away from the beginning, we knew that God was going to use this somehow. We knew, you know, there's always pain, there's always going to be struggles, but we know that there is a plan, and his plans are good, and they're always better than what we can imagine. And so I knew that walking through this hard thing, and we still don't know what those plans are, we've been able to see some of the purpose in it already, but just knowing that there is a purpose and there is a plan, there's a reason that all this is happening, and trusting in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like you ended talking about trusting in God, and it just, Kaya bought, I guess, let me say this. Kaya bought me a journal at the very beginning of this. I think it was one of the first days in the hospital, and she bought me this journal. And, you know, I've never been a journaler, but through this I have, so I'm really thankful for you for that. And, you know, we don't have all the answers, but we know some things, you know. We know who God is. I think it was just earlier recording, like, he's slow to anger, rich in love, abounding in goodness and compassion. He's the creator God. He made everything, you know, he's powerful. He's able to see us through things. He has good plans and purpose for us. So reminding myself of that. And then secondly, who God is, secondly, who I am, you know, that he loves me, mm-hmm. That he cares for me, that I'm chosen, you know, through Christ, I'm holy. Yes, I'm human, but he purchased me, you know, with a price, and he's looking out for me. And then thirdly, I think is just like, okay, who God is, who I am, well, then there must be some purpose here. There must be something he's trying to do. And not that he's causing this or making this happen, but just that, you know, he has a good purpose. He has things to bring out of this. And it's not like every day, it's easy to sit up here and say that. Let me say that.
Sure.
But you know, every day, I think I just have a choice of, am I going to like buy into that, buy into those scriptures, buy into that belief, or am I going to be buying into the fears and what I see right in front of me and this diagnosis or this pain or the treatment or whatever this day has to bring. And
right.
God's just been really faithful to us. I don't know. I don't know what to say except God has been faithful to us.
You know, hearing you talk about all of this and how you processed it all really makes me wonder how many people, when walking through a season like you're walking through, really struggle with that question, is God good? And if our answer to that question is dependent on the circumstances, do we really truly believe that God is good, or is he only good if he meets our expectations and he follows our script? You know, that script that you were talking about, that one that it's our plans for a good life, right? And it doesn't include any pain or suffering or death. And so what happens when God goes off script and he allows something in our lives that we didn't plan for? So there's a cancer diagnosis, there's an accident, a loved one passes away, our prayers aren't being answered. How do we respond? You know, do we stop trusting God and just blame him, accuse him of wrongdoing, and just say he's not good anymore? You know, I love this quote by Lisa Turkhurst, and she says, God loves me too much to answer my prayers at any other time than the right time, and in any other way than the right way. You know, we trust him because he sees all, he knows all, and he's trustworthy. So Michael and Kaya, what does trusting God really look like for you right now?
I think, I remember there was a few times, but two I'm thinking of, where, you know, just the stuff in front of me, like the diagnosis, or, you know, having to go down to Ann Arbor for another week of staying in the hospital, or whatever it was, the fears, and then, you know, obviously, I believe the enemy, he wants to take this and just derail me and wreck my life, and, you know, he's out to get me. And there was just so many fears and doubts and the circumstances in that day, and I just remember these couple times just standing in our bedroom alone, and it was like, all of those things were so overwhelming and so heavy that, I mean, I was weeping and I couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. I was alone. You weren't there yet. And it was so heavy. And I think you ask, you know, what does trusting look like? I think in those moments, you know, I just had a choice. Do I just try to do it alone? I'm a guy. Do I just try to fix it? Do I try to be strong? Or do I look for help from God? Do I look to these things, that the circumstances and the fears and what the doctor's saying and all this stuff, or am I looking to the Lord?
Wow.
And thankfully, by God's grace, you know, in those moments, I went for help. Mm-hmm. And you know, I turned to God, and then also like to the people around us, to Kaya. In both those situations, like I went and got Kaya, and she just, I mean, this woman is awesome. And she prayed for me. She hugged me. You know what I mean? In those moments, she encouraged me. She spoke truth, really. Like, okay, here's all these lies and these things that are over here, but she's speaking truth to me. Wow. Of, you know, just scriptures or things she sees and how, mm-hmm. how God, you know, does have a purpose and he's going to work this out. And in those moments, like having someone around you, so helpful, so helpful. Sure. And actually, I mean, can we put up that picture that is of Kaya praying? Because this is her just wow. The other night. She's probably going to be mad at me for showing you this picture. But but this is just the other night, and this is just the kind of woman she is, that she's praying for all of you, actually, in this moment, for this. And just that we could come and just share a story, and that God would just encourage you. And I just, I honor you, because mm-hmm. you've been so strong through all of this, and I couldn't do it without you. I couldn't do it without you. So. You can probably take that down now, though.
Wow.
But what's the question? Trusting God? I don't know. Do you want to say something? Set you up real well,
yeah,
there.
Thank
Sorry.
You. I think we've seen God be so faithful in other areas of our life before this. And so for me to look back on, you know, like one that always sticks out in my mind is the birth of our second child, Elliot. Like that was miraculous. Only God could have done that, and he was so faithful. And I can look back and see, even though there were struggles, that he was so good and he was so faithful, and his plan was just perfect for that moment. And even in the birth of Violet, like there was a 1 hour span of time. We were both in the hospital, and there was 1 hour in between when Michael was getting all of his testing and all of that, and we weren't even sure if they would allow him to leave his room to come to mine, and thankfully they did. But then we still weren't sure if she would be born in that 1 hour that he had to be in there. And you know, again, God, is his
she
timing
was.
Is just amazing. Yeah. And she came, and he was there, and he got to hold her and snuggle her and pray for her before he had to leave again. And so just remembering the faithfulness and the goodness of God in our past, and remembering that and reflecting on that, and then just looking to the Word.
That's is powerful. And you know, Michael, you talked about it being a choice. Like a daily choice, maybe a moment by moment choice. Am I gonna go with the fear, which is somewhat our natural response, or am I going to have faith and trust God? And then, Kai, just the encouragement that you were for Michael, and then what it looked like for you. It's just powerful. That trust in God, not just this some random trust, but trust in the creator God that you know, that you have a personal relationship with, and the one that's shown up in your past, like with Elliot. I mean, that's a miracle, absolute miracle. And you saw that, and God used that to build your faith so that you were prepared. Part of trusting God is just believing that he's at work, believing that he is working out all things for good to those that love him. And we know that sometimes it doesn't feel good. And I think a part of it is like handing over the pen of our life back to God, because he's the one that should have it. Sometimes we want to take it and script our own life. You referenced that. But like giving it, okay, God, it's your pen, script the life, and I want you to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish in me. Reminds me of a passage in Romans 5 that I had really hoped to share. Paul the Apostle is talking and he says, "Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Talking about coming into relationship with him, being justified, reconciled to God. And then he goes on, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us." And I think we find when we walk through difficulties, if we truly choose to trust God, that God produces things in us in our challenging times. And so could you both talk about that? Like, what are some things that God you believe has produced in you as you've walked through this challenging season?
I think I have seen how God has been pursuing me through this, and I've just been, as I, you know, spend time in prayer for Michael and for our family and for the situation, and just spending more time with God, I have fallen more in love with God every day. And so that's one good thing that's been coming out of this situation. Right. And just little things that happen, like little miracles all the time, that is just God showing me that he loves me and that he cares for me. And, you know, like, one example is getting our family photos. In the chaos of Michael being hospitalized and having a baby, I just didn't think that we would get to have our family pictures taken, like, you know, you normally do after you have a baby. And I just didn't think that that was going to be in the cards. And sure enough, ding, God just made it happen. And he was able to be out of the hospital. And it was just, it was a little thing. But to me, like, that was God showing me how much he cared for me, right, even in those little things.
Yeah, I think there's two, well, there's many, many, but two I'll say. One is just, we've just been blown away, like God has just shown us, and a blessing received is just like the love of the body of Christ. I mean, all of you guys, like, I can't usually come to one in every three Sundays just with the treatment and things that happen and, you know, my immunities and different things. And there's not a Sunday I'm here where somebody doesn't come up to me and say, "I'm praying for you every day."
Wow.
Are you kidding me? I mean, that's just like, you guys are awesome. And people just giving us a gas car to drive to Ann Arbor, or bring us a meal, or
meals, cleaning the house.
Somebody brought us just a bunch of like tissues and what was it, like toilet paper
and
just like stuff,
yeah,
you
baby
need.
Wipes.
And it's just like, wow, just, I mean, we can't even list everything that people have done. And so just, so thank you so much.
Yeah, we want to thank you, because you guys have been such an encouragement to us, and how you have loved us has really challenged and inspired us to love people better. So
yeah,
thank you.
Like, you're
so
raising
much
the bar for us. Like, hey, we got to be better at that, because people have just surrounded us with prayer and intangible things, but prayer is probably the biggest one. And just, I think you said it once to me, Pastor Keith, like, you have an army of people praying for you.
Right.
And I mean, we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, like, this has gone as well as it has, and we've had peace and stuff. It's not because of us. Mm-hmm. It's because of God and prayers and the body of Christ. And I mean, it's amazing. I'll say that, you know, the care that this church has in the care department, and if you're going through something, I mean, don't do it alone. Reach out for help.
That's
because
good.
There's people here that want to care. Because
we felt
100%, mm-hmm, believe it 100%. And then the second thing, I think that God, through this difficulty or suffering, whatever we call it, has shown us is just what I would call like the pruning of me and, you know, Kaya. Just, I think there's a scripture from John 15. I don't know if they can put it up, where Jesus is just talking about like an analogy, and he says, "I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener." Goes on and says, "Every branch that does bear fruit," so he's talking about us, the, you know, believers, "he prunes it so it will be even more fruitful." Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't spend extended honest time with Jesus and not be better, be
That's
changed.
Right.
At least that's what I've experienced with this. And, you know, you go through a difficult thing, a life and death thing, you start spending a lot more time with Jesus.
Yeah.
Just making it even more of a priority. And, you know, I'm in the hospital, I just have sometimes a lot of time, and just spending time with the Lord. And he's just pointing out things in me that are like, hey, I'm not quite okay with this. I'm going to prune this a little bit so that you can bear even more fruit. Or, the way that you talked to Kyra, the kids during this one time, I know you weren't feeling good. I know there's side effects of the chemo. It's still not okay, you know, and he's just trying to make me better. And I really have thought of it as like, same as like, I'm getting all this medicine and I'm getting all of this treatment, and often it's inconvenient to travel to Ann Arbor. Often, you know, it's costly. Often it's painful, but it's killing the cancer. So it's good, you know? And that's how I look at sometimes that pruning that the Lord does. It's not always easy. It's not always convenient. It's costly, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And it's good. And it's because God loves us. You know, I don't think Jesus is okay with me. He's not okay with me staying the way I am. He loves me 100%. He came to me, saved me, but he's just not okay with me staying there. He wants me to be better. And so I think that pruning has been difficult, but it's been such a good thing, and we're thankful for it.
Right.
And God is so crazy that like you have cancer, but then like he can make it good things come out of it. How does he do that? I don't know. That's one of the questions.
Right.
But he somehow does.
Yeah.
Wow. God is always at work. And I wonder how much less fear and anxiety and heartache we would experience if we truly believe that he is at work behind the scenes, even when we don't know it, even when we don't feel it. Psalms 40 verse 4 says this: "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust." And we love that scripture, right? But the verses before that, Psalms 40, 1 through 3, talks about some low places that David has been. It talks about the valleys he's walked through. It talks about God having to pick him up out of the miry clay. And I think it's important for us to remember that those low places, those valleys, the hard times have purpose. And there's a quote from Billy Graham, and he says this: "Mountaintops are for views and inspiration, but fruit is grown in the valleys." How true that is.
Wow. Fruit grows in the valleys. And I think you guys have shared that, some of the fruit that God's brought in you and through you, and the character that he's built and things that he's taught you. And, you know, we as a church, we've been praying for you to grow through this time. We've also been praying for your healing. We've been praying for God to do a touch in your body. And so can you give us an update? So August 7th, you know, is when you were first in the hospital, aggressive Burkitt's lymphoma. Where are we at? Can you give us a report?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, God is, I mean, in my opinion, it's just a miracle through like the healing of God and leading us to Ann Arbor and the good treatment we're receiving there. I think there's a picture I have. So I've had a couple of different scans. No, that's that's me in the hospital. We don't need that one. Thank you though. But this is two different PET scans. And so the one on the left, white is bad. That's basically where they find these lymphoma cells. So a lot of places. And that was in August. And so about 2 months later, I mean, praise God, if you can see like on the right, there are hardly any. And these white spots, they're telling me like those are normal because of the tracing dye they put in you for the scan, like in your kidneys and stuff, they always show up. And basically what the doctor told us was like, we can't see any cancer. Mm-hmm. As of that October date. And so it was just like, wow. I mean, that was the best news to hear that, and just that had happened. Praise and there was God. Such a change in 2 months when, you know, what they had first told us was so dire.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're just continuing through the treatment because that's the right thing to do, and feel peace and wisdom about that. And But God, as far as I'm concerned, like God has healed me. He is healing me. He's making me better, and it's going to continue.
Amen. So. Amen. Well, I know for a fact that as you've walked through this, you have impacted many, many people. And probably if we had a show of hands, we'd be like, yeah, we've been impacted just observing them, watching them, praying for them. But can you give us a couple specific examples of a way that God, at least as far as you know, used you to impact
somebody else.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Or do you want me, who do you want to, you go first.
I'll go first. It was the very first day I was leaving the hospital, about 11:30, the very first night Michael was here in the hospital in Midland, and I had to call my sister and tell her everything that was going on. We had already talked to both of our parents, and so I had to call my sister and explain everything to her. And up until that point, like, I had been crying all night and could hardly get out two words when we were talking to my parents. But in that moment, I was sitting in the van in the parking lot at the hospital, and I just felt God's peace, and I felt I just knew that he was going to use this whole situation and how we respond to it to influence people, and specifically the people that are closest to us. And my sister was one of those people. And so I called her, explained everything. There was a lot of tears again. But after that, we had such a sweet conversation about God and how he is still good, and we still trust him, and you know, he is going to bring good out of this. And I think both of our faiths were encouraged from that conversation. And that will always stick out in my mind as just, again, just God being so good and so faithful, even in that difficult time, just having to share that moment with my sister and being able to share more about who God is and that he loves her so much. And that was really special.
There's been a number of just really Holy Spirit opportunities to share about Jesus, and while I've been in the hospital in Ann Arbor, and one of them, I guess I'll share, is I'll just call her Randy, and she was my nurse for 3 days this last time, so about 2 weeks ago when I was in the hospital down there, and you know, I was just praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to share. Give me an opportunity to bring you up to her. And God's just so faithful to do that. You know, it's nothing I did. It's really the Lord, because that stuff freaks me out. there was a moment where she was in there doing some medicine and stuff, and I was there, and I just started to ask her, what's your story? And she talked about how she was born in India, and she ended up coming to the United States when she was six. And her family, they're all of the Sikh religion. And she ended up, though, marrying outside of her family's religion. And so she kind of was, like, ostracized from the family. You know, she grew up mostly in America. And so she considered, you know, she's like, I know this isn't really my thing, the Sikh religion. She married. And then her husband, just call him Dean, you know. So Randy and Dean, he had been a follower of Christ, but had gone through something difficult where his brother committed suicide in front of him. And just those questions that come, like, way more difficult situation than what we've been through. And, you know, my heart's just breaking as I'm hearing all of this for them. And I'm just thinking and praying in my head, like, Holy Spirit, give me an opportunity, you know. And she's sharing all of this. And I just started talking about Jesus. Well, what do you believe about Jesus? You know, what do you believe about? And she's like, well, you know, I think he was a good guy. He was a prophet. He had some good things to share, and you know, me and my husband, we believe that, but we, you know, just what we've been through, you know, we just don't know that he's God or anything. And so I was just able to talk about, well, hey, you know, even Jesus claimed to be God. Even in John 8, you know, he says I'm from above, or John 10, where he's like, I and the Father are one. I mean, these are words out of his mouth. And just talked about that, and just really heard her story, shared some of my faith, and then, you know, a day later, I think we were leaving the hospital, and so Kai and I just, we really felt led by the Holy Spirit, and so we wrote her a card and just said, Randy, I just wanted to write you and thank you for your excellent care these last few days, and also during past days here, on behalf of me and Kai and our family, thank you for the impact you've had on us, and please accept a small gift of coffee on us. I think we put a Starbucks gift card in there or something. And also I said, thank you for your transparency and willingness to share your story. I'm going to be back here for more treatment on December 4th. So that's this Wednesday. I'm going back down. And my plan is to pray for you and Dean by name every day and then till then. We're going to pray to Jesus that he's going to help your family find unity in a miraculous way, so you're going to know that he loves people, he loves you and your real situation. And I mean, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I'll probably see her, you know, again, if she's on, I'm there for 5 days and if she works any of those days, I'll see her. And I would ask you guys to partner with us because, I mean, God loves this woman.
Definitely.
I just know that God loves this woman. God loves her family. She's ostracized from them. She hasn't talked to her dad in 9 years. And man, if God can do a miracle to show that he loves her, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm praying every day that something will happen in her life. And we've just had many opportunities like that. And that's not normal for me, I would say, in my past, like years past, to have all these kind of conversations with people. But like Kai was saying, like, we've just seen thing after thing after thing that God has done, and it kind of just builds your faith. Like, hey, this birth went so well, and I was able to be there, and he's working healing, and all these little things have happened. And so your faith just increases, and now I'm just like, well, God, what's the purpose of what you're trying to do? And I think it was one of the first, I don't know, maybe the second time I was down in the hospital in Ann Arbor or something, and there was a pastor from here, and they came, and they said to me something to the effect of, you know, what if Jesus, like, what if God let this happen to you, not cause it, but like, what if God let this cancer happen so that you could have an opportunity to impact these people? And I remember thinking like, well, I don't know about that. I'm not a theologian. I don't understand all that, how to answer that. But the more I started thinking and praying about it, I was like, well, God let that happen to himself. I mean, Jesus came and literally suffered so terribly, was mocked, went through this horrible thing to love people and to reach people.
Yeah.
And I mean, no servant is greater than his master. Maybe God is willing that that would happen. And there is a purpose, you know, that God is wanting to bring out of this for me to impact people around me. And, you know, I mean, Jesus did it. He came and went through something. I mean, this thing I'm going through, come on, that's nothing compared to what Jesus did. I mean, I felt his love. And so, I mean, that's just one story. We've had other opportunities. And I mean, the Holy Spirit's just faithful to, that makes me excited. Like, you know, like God is doing something, you know, even though it's cancer and it's terrible.
Right.
God is doing something.
He's at work.
Yeah, he's at work.
He's at work.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, I want to commend both of you for how you have been, are walking through this season. We want to continue to pray for them because they're still walking through this. But the way that you have been very real and you've opened up your life to others and you've talked about the challenging days and the days when God totally came in and just surrounded you. You've just been very real, transparent, but you, through it all, have walked by faith. And I commend you both for that, because that is an example for the rest of us. I hope that you are inspired by someone else in the body of Christ that's living by faith. And their prayer, I know, coming into today was that you'd be encouraged, that whatever it is that you're walking through, that you'd be encouraged to continue to trust God. And for those who are here that you'd say, I don't have a relationship with God. I don't know God like they seem to know God. They want you to know that you can, and that he is the anchor that's sure, the foundation that's true, the foundation that's stable for whatever it is that you're walking through.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.